Well, thanks for being with us, everyone. And I love music, and I know Ruth and Pam do. So thanks for being with us on this program.
Thank you, Doris. It's great to be back today.
It's great to be here. I love talking about music, and music is an awesome power.
And it's good to listen to it, but it's also good to sing it, isn't it, Pam?
That's right. If you have a musical talent, or even if you have a musical interest, I think music helps soothe you. It helps relax you.
And it's interesting to play it, like on our trumpets or French horns, Ruth.
Or the piano.
And the piano. You know, I think every child should take piano lessons, don't you?
Yes, because music should be an important part of everybody's life, because it is so wonderful.
And there's so much music in the world. The songs that the birds sing, and there's music when the water falls and in the ocean. There's music every place.
That's right. And we touched on it yesterday. Every culture around the world has their own unique music. It's important to every culture.
So there's an awesome power of music that will heal people. Many times they'll say that even in some places where they have big dairy farms, they have music playing while they milk the cows and they get more milk. Did you know that?
Yes, I have heard that. And we talked yesterday about how music can be therapeutic. It can help to soothe people and heal them.
That's true. It can calm people down, and it can change your whole attitude sometimes just by the music you listen to.
That's exactly right. And one of the things we're talking about yesterday and then again today is the influence that music has had on people around the world. And we'll learn more about that today.
And there's been so many groups that have influenced the world, not only the ones we mentioned, the Beatles from England, but there's been, I remember, Elvis Presley and the Ink Spots and so many different musicians. And Heavenly Melody influenced all over the world.
That's right.
And so we thank God for music, because he is the one who made the world and the music in it. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right.
So today we want to finish that one paragraph about changing history. And what page are we on, Ruth?
We're on page 31.
Page 31. And since we talked about how this has changed, let's find out a little bit how it even affected Russia. Let's finish this last paragraph of changing history. It's on page 31, and let's read it first.
Both presidents, Putin and Gorbachev, admitted to having been Beatles fans, listening in secret on Luxembourg radio. Putin said, "Their music was a dose of freedom, like an open window to the world." Russian historian Artemy Troitsky said, "In the 60s, they, the Beatles, started a whole new movement in the Soviet Union, involving millions of young people."
Well, we talked about Paul McCartney giving a performance in Red Square, and now we learn that both presidents of Russia, Putin and Gorbachev, admitted to having been Beatles fans. They also loved the Beatles music, but they had to listen in secret on Luxembourg radio.
I didn't really realize that until I read this article, did you?
Yeah. No, I didn't know that at all. I had never read that anywhere. I always learn new things from our advanced articles.
I know we get a lot of historical things. Well, what did Putin say about it at that time?
Putin said their music was a dose of freedom, like an open window to the world.
And that's true, because Russia has always been kind of militaristic and so forth, and they didn't have that freestyle that the Beatles brought. And so it kind of sounded like a different feel to those people, don't you think, Ruth?
Definitely, and I think that's what appealed to them about it, is because it was free and it was completely different, and it gave them a kind of feeling that they could not get at that time in the USSR.
Right. That's right, and I think really, the Beatles music to everybody around the world, it was so different that, you know, a lot of people liked it. But for people who lived in kind of a closed society, we see here that they had to listen to it secretly. It was kind of like they were doing something sneaky that made them very happy.
And they had to be careful, because it was not their local radio station.
Exactly.
Right. Short wave in those days. And this Russian historian, Troitsky, we often see him quoted. He wrote a lot of history about Russia in that period. What did he say, Ruth?
He said, in the 60s, they, meaning the Beatles, started a whole new movement in the Soviet Union involving millions of young people. So it sounds like Putin and Gorbachev were not the only ones who listened secretly. A lot of young people did, too, this whole new movement among the young.
It sounds like maybe it wasn't such a secret, but I guess for the young people, as you said, Doris, they couldn't have access to the music locally.
Right.
They were having to find kind of a sneaky way to hear it.
Well, you know, we're finding that's just one place, but actually their music and the music of a lot of different groups has influenced the whole world. Certain people, whether they're Italian or Japanese or Chinese, certain people that are musicians have changed the world by introducing music for the masses, haven't they?
That's exactly right.
So let's read about this influence the whole world.
Influencing the world. Half a generation ago, in much of the world, we would have heard music strange and foreign to our Western ears. Each culture, in relative isolation for centuries, had developed its own system of music and cultural distinctives. But today, in many cultures, what you are bombarded with is the pop music of the Western nations, although sometimes with a refreshing local flavor. Paul Eshelman, director of the Jesus Film Project, said in 1992, "I have been in many nations, and I have not yet been in a jungle village so small that I didn't see a kid wearing a Michael Jackson t-shirt or someone listening to music on the radio. And what they're listening to is not their indigenous music."
Well, it used to be that people only heard the music of their own culture. But about half a generation ago, meaning probably maybe 50 years, in much of the world we would have heard our own, but now we're hearing everybody else's too.
I think part of that is because, you know, we had shortwave radio that wasn't always that good, but we just heard local stations. But now you can hear on your cell phone, you can hear music from any country in the world. And it's so easy to listen to music now from
other
countries.
That's exactly right. The internet, social media, all of these different forms have now brought in music and information that you couldn't access before. But now you have someone, maybe in a small remote island even, accessing music in the U.S. or in Europe, anywhere from around the world.
And it talks about in the article that each culture, okay, in the relative isolation for centuries, in other words, each country used to kind of keep its own music to itself and developed its own, but now that's shared with everybody. There's certain cultural distinctions or special things about it that pertain only to that one culture, but now everybody can enjoy it.
Well, it's interesting that Japanese music has taken on Western music styles, and Chinese music has taken on Japanese styles, and now when you hear music, you know, you're really not just sure what style it is because we kind of have incorporated the music of each of these countries together sometimes, haven't we?
That's right.
That's right. Sometimes you hear the word fusion, which mm-hmm. means to put something together, and you can fuse Japanese pop with the Chinese music or with Western
Korean.
Things.
Yeah.
Korean, exactly.
But I think, Doris, on one hand, it makes me a little bit, not sad, but I kind of miss the days when you could go to a place and you would hear the music of that region.
Old Southern music,
and
right?
It, yeah. Well, exactly, or even in a different country.
Mm-hmm.
And you would know that music was unique to that culture.
But now, you know, even the instruments and all, like the Indian kind of music and the Chinese erhu and all those things, you can hear those put into other cultures, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's
right.
It's kind of interesting. And today, in many cultures, you are bombarded with, or it means that it's kind of, you would call this foreground music because it's not background music. You hear this all kinds of different kinds of music all the time, and the pop music of the Western nations, but they also have the local flavor. So if you have Western music, you can still have a Chinese or Japanese or Korean pop style in with that music.
That's right. But I think every place you go now, you can hear Western pop because you are bombarded with it. You can hear it every place you go, just about.
And they go on to say, with a refreshing local flavor, and I hope that's true, that if every country is adopting Western music, I hope they put some of their own local culture
into the music. They do. They sing in different styles, and they play it with different instruments. And even though the song is the same, they do a different style on it.
And that is actually refreshing, meaning it gives it a new, fresh feeling that's appealing.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And the director of the Jesus Film Project, which was kind of worldwide, everybody has seen that film, Paul Esselman, what did he say?
He says, "I've been in many nations, and I have not yet been in a jungle village so small that I didn't see a kid wearing a Michael Jackson t-shirt or someone listening to music on the radio, and what they're listening to is not their indigenous music."
And indigenous music is music that originates from a certain place. It's the native music. Usually we use the word indigenous with the native peoples of an area.
Right. We call them indigenous people. They're the local people. And still, you know, even like Chinese folk songs and Chinese opera, that's a distinctive style. But you don't see too many kids sitting around listening to old Chinese opera, do you?
No, because what they like is they like the Western pop music. So that's what you hear them.
Mm-hmm. But it has been influenced, too, so that they often sing it with a certain twang that's like their own country, or the way they do it is different.
Right, and that is refreshing, because I think it would be so boring if the music around the world was all the same.
Right,
right. Well, really, you notice they've even taken things that were like, actually, the classical music, like Beethoven and those things, and they've made that into modern style sometimes, turned on Bach, and it's not like the same one, but it is Bach, but they've done it in a different style.
Exactly. They've used electronic instruments to kind of change the tempo or change the rhythm, so it's like taking something old and remaking it in a new style.
And so people can listen to it better because they're used to that sound. And so the very early classical music, they didn't even have all the instruments we have now.
No, they didn't. And I think it's interesting that this Paul Esselman, the director of the Jesus Film Project, he would go to a lot of really isolated places. And it's interesting that that music has gone into so many of those places that used to be so remote. And now he says he can't even find a place where there isn't that influence.
Right. And can you imagine how shocking it would be to go into one of these very, very isolated regions of the world and see the children wearing Michael Jackson t-shirts? Your first question would be, I wonder where they found them. And number two, I guess they knew who he was.
Well, it actually, you know, not just Michael Jackson. He, of course, was very influential. But before him, even Elvis Presley was all over the world. He was an American. In fact, you met Elvis Presley once, didn't you?
Well, that's right. My hometown is Memphis. That was Elvis's hometown. And he, in the mid to late 60s, of course, was very popular. We would say that was his heyday. That was when he was the most popular. And he was a collector of certain items. And so one day on my way home from school, I passed him as he was walking into one of these shops. And he was such a friendly man that we went in to talk with him. And he talked with the kids, those of us, for about 30 minutes and signed our autographs. He was very
handsome. Did you have a picture with him?
I did. We didn't have cell phones back then. And we didn't have our cameras, of course. But he was a very friendly man. And, you know, even today, Doris, if you go to his home, called Graceland, and we'll talk about it, people from around the world, all over the world, come to Graceland because he was so popular worldwide.
Well, in fact, he used to sing in the regular church choir in that city, and we were there with the Heavenly Melody Choir, and we met the pastor of the church, who was Elvis's pastor, and Elvis used to sing in the church choir before he went into pop music. Can you imagine that, Ruth?
Yes, I can, and I think it's great.
Right. He did a lot of what we call gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. Mm-hmm. He was very well known, of course, for his rock and roll music, but he did a lot of gospel music on the side.
And he did a lot of mood music. I remember he sang songs like, Are You Lonesome Tonight? And I remember hearing Elvis Presley when I was on a boat going to China, and I thought, yes, I'm going to China on this ship. I'm lonesome, Elvis, you know. Those were kind of set your mood a little bit sometimes, didn't
it? That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the night that he passed away, that's the song they played on the radio, Are You Lonesome
Are
Tonight?
Are You Lonesome Tonight?
So many people were missing him and they were sad.
And Elvis is still popular, you know.
Definitely, definitely. Especially if you go to Las Vegas, there are people who dress up to look like Elvis.
Right.
They impersonate him.
You know,
him.
One of our teachers, Bill, he always liked to impersonate Elvis, you know. But, you know, because Elvis had a very unique style. So the Beatles and Elvis and other famous people that have been singing around the world have influenced society.
Well, that's right, and in fact, we spent so much time talking about the Beatles yesterday, it's interesting to note that they admired Elvis. They looked up to him because he was kind of the one who broke a lot of the traditions.
That's true.
In music, and they wanted to sort of pattern themselves a little bit after him.
That's true. A lot of people did, right? And then there were different groups. I remember this, the black singers called the Ink Spots, and they sang a lot of songs, and we saw them once in Hawaii when they were old. They were in their 80s, and they were still singing and playing, and when we were there singing, we saw them. So these groups got all around the world, and they just changed the mood, and people still love them even when they're older.
That's true. You can think a lot of the, I guess they call them classic rock bands or pop bands now. They're still touring, but the musicians are in their 60s and 70s.
That's right.
Right.
Well, we said yesterday, we talked about Paul McCartney. He is still touring, and in fact, just recently gave a concert in my hometown. It was sold out. They said, I wasn't there, but they said he was phenomenal, did an amazing job.
Can you imagine that?
He must be in his
70s.
70s, right. Isn't that something, right?
Well, music certainly does break down a lot of barriers.
Mm-hmm. And music is a great thing to change your mood. It has power to help you and give you courage. And sometimes people in very difficult times, in war zones or anything, and they hear music and it gives them courage and strength to go on and keep on, doesn't it?
That's right.
Well, let's see. Now, we still have one more paragraph about breaking down barriers with music. So let's take our last paragraph.
Breaking down barriers. What this worldwide movement of popular music has done is to break down many of the tribal barriers that once separated nations. It has become a universal language, uniting the young of almost all nations into one amorphous body of music lovers. There are now in many cultures at least three generations who respond to the same beat. 75-year-olds still make nostalgic pilgrimages to Graceland to pay homage at the shrine of King Elvis. Fans of early rockers now show up at their concerts in their walkers. Those silly teenage girls who screamed and fainted for John, Paul, George, and Ringo are now in their 60s.
So we talk about breaking down barriers. Now, barriers, I always think of places like fences and walls and things like that. Those are physical barriers. But there's other kind of barriers. And what is a barrier?
A barrier is something that separates two things. It prevents one side from being in contact with another.
So a physical barrier would be like a wall or something like that. But there's other kind of barriers that we have that have to do with the culture, that have to do with the way we do things, Ruth.
Exactly. Cultural barriers would be something that one culture does that another culture cannot understand, and therefore it stops the two of them from communicating. Here in our lesson, it talks about tribal barriers that once separated nations. And a tribe is just a smaller group of people that share certain cultural characteristics.
Right. Every country has what they call their indigenous people or their tribes people. And when you get right down to it, you go way back, and we're all not so different, but it seems like we got segregated in all these different groups, and we have different kinds of music. But this does make quite a difference. It breaks down these barriers.
Right. That's what the writer tells us, Doris. The writer says that what popular music has done, as it's crossed into these many different countries and these cultures, it has broken down the the distinct or unique barriers, and it has united these different people groups, various people groups.
In fact, it's become a universal language,
something everybody
can relate to.
But sometimes you can't even understand the language of these pop groups. You don't know what they're singing, right? Beep, beep, boop, boop, that, that, right?
That's right. But the harmonies and the melodies and the rhythms are very much the same. So this unites the young people, the teenagers of almost every nation into one amorphous body of music lovers.
When you can see this, like there's these great big festivals they have in Europe and German conductors, and they go to other countries, and everybody kind of gets together. It doesn't matter what country you're from. They get together and enjoy that music, don't they?
That's right, and I've noticed, Doris, you know, as we search to provide our listeners and readers with good articles, we're always looking for different topics. One thing I've realized is that these music festivals are they're gaining in popularity. You can find them all around the world now, international music festivals.
That's true.
And that's because, as it says in our lesson, in many cultures now at least three generations respond to the same beat, which means at least three generations appreciate and enjoy the same kind of music.
That's right.
So they've come into this big word here, amorphous. How do you say that?
Amorphous. And it just means having no fixed form or shape, meaning it's always kind of changing. And when you think about it, if you were to put the young people from every culture together, it would be kind of a shapeless, moving blob.
Right.
And I've seen that. I've experienced that, Doris. I had a very favorite group called the Monkees from the late 60s. Got to see them a few years back, and there were all ages there, from my girls who were preteen and teenager all the way up to me, my age. We were all clapping and applauding for
them. That's right. It breaks down barriers of age and nationalities get together. And when they get together and the families sing together and countries, it really breaks down barriers. So now there's many cultures here, at least three generations, who like the same kind of music. And Ruth, I've noticed that a lot of music that was popular and then it's not popular, then it comes back again, like harmony and chords and for a while they want soloists, then they want something else. But we really get back to the main thing of music that blends together and has a sound like a melody to it. It still lasts forever.
Yes, it does. And it's something that all ages can enjoy.
And it says that 75-year-olds still make what you call nostalgic pilgrimage to Graceland. And you've been there, Ben, right near where you live.
And there may be some of our listeners who've been there.
I'm sure they have. I've been there. You've been there, Ruth?
I have not been there.
We have to go there.
We'll have to take Ruth. But, you know, if you go and you look at the guest book, it's always very interesting. People from every corner of the world are there visiting Elvis's home in Memphis, Tennessee.
So nostalgic, those are good words to know.
Yes, they are. When something is nostalgic, it means you're feeling happy, but maybe slightly sad at the same time. These 75-year-olds would remember Elvis when they were young and how popular he was. So now they're coming to Graceland to remember his home and his music. So it's fun and happy, but it's kind of sad because he's passed away and no longer singing.
Right. And I think social media has helped bring in a newer audience, a younger audience.
We like to listen to these
Pandora
things, right?
And some of these radio stations.
Oh, there's so many stations, right? You're right. And so they pay homage to, or they recognize that that person was a great musician. They say to the shrine. It's not a real shrine, but it's just like that they realize that they call him the king because King Elvis, you know, he's not a real king.
No.
But that just meant the king of pop, right?
And you notice, Doris, in this sentence, there are several words that have to do with either a king or religion, because they make a pilgrimage to Graceland,
right.
Which means a pilgrim is a religious person who goes to a place to worship. And as Doris said, we don't really worship Elvis,
no.
But it's the same kind of thing. You admire him so much.
And they're paying homage. They're giving honor to this person.
And what's interesting is not just the fans of these early people who are the rockers like Elvis, but they show up in their walkers. So young people and old people, some people with canes and walkers, they still go there to visit that, don't they?
That's right, Doris. And this is interesting. It says fans of early rockers now show up in their walkers. They're old and they need help walking. Well,
they still go.
You can look back at some of those historic photos and see silly teenage girls screaming and fainting at those Beatles and Elvis concerts Now they're on walkers.
And I wonder if they're doing that now they're in their 60s or 70s, right?
Yeah, probably not fainting and screaming, applauding and really enjoying being there.
But this has been an interesting article to think about the power of music and have music in your life. If you feel sad, turn on some happy music and sing a happy song. It'll change your whole feeling and the whole atmosphere, won't it?
Yes, it will. In fact, that's one of the first things we said is that music is mood influencing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can change the way you feel just by the kind of music you choose to listen to.
I agree. I do this almost daily. I'll turn on certain music in the morning that I want to listen to with my devotional time. And then later in the day, I'll turn on something that's a little bit peppy to lift my spirits a little bit.
Right. And if you want to rest, you turn on some kind of relaxing music.
Mm-hmm.
So be sure that music is part of your life and your family, and help your children and grandchildren get into it, and you can enjoy it together with your grandchildren even. They can all get together and enjoy music in your life.
That's right, because music, it has a universal appeal.
That's right.
And it does have power, awesome power. So be sure that you make it a part of your daily life. And you also want to make advance part of your daily life, because we bring you all kinds of different topics, and that will give you more power to have positive living, too.
That's right.
We're so keep in touch. Write to us.
That's exactly right. And you can write to us at letters@studioclassroom.com, and we will answer your letters.
Check the websites.
Yes, and you can tell us how music has influenced your life, and maybe you have some interesting stories to share.
That's true. So thanks for being with us today, everyone. And so we'll say goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.